It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
What's going on, everybody? Monday, welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You could follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. The show at VSiN Live. As always, we are live at the Des Plaines Bet Rivers Sportsbook at the Rivers Casino, just outside of Chicago. Getting you geared up for tonight's Monday Night Football action. It's going to be a fun one for sure between the Ravens and the Chiefs. We see the Ravens as a slight favorite, -3.5. We'll get to that game in just a second, because not only do we have football tonight, we got some Stanley Cup Finals action between the Stars and the Lightning. Game 6, a thriller over the weekend in double overtime, the Stars getting the win to extend the series. We'll talk with Wes Reynolds, VSiN host, not only about that game, we'll also talk about tonight's Monday Night Football game and some MLB postseason series prices. October baseball just around the corner, so we'll take a look at all the series prices posted at Bet Rivers with Wes. Plus, we'll get more in-depth with tonight's hockey game with Ian Cameron, VSiN contributor, professional handicapper. Came on the show last week to talk about Game 4, really nailed all his picks.
We'll have you on with Danny in about 3 minutes.
So look to get some of his best bets for tonight's game as well.
Thank you.
And then we'll do, like we have been the past couple weeks, a weekend recap, a Rivers recap, really, of everything that happened over the weekend at Bet Rivers, and just what the biggest football games were, where the biggest handles were, how the public fared, how the pros fared, how behind the counter fared. We'll get into all of that and more. And of course, Prop Shelf, where we'll get into all the top props for tonight's action between the Chiefs and the Ravens. But first, let's get you updated on some of those lines with the pregame rush here with the hockey action with the Lightning and the Stars. The Lightning, as we know, are up 3-2 in this series. They've been a favorite really in every single game this series, because look, it's the 18th straight game. That's right. 18 games in a row where the Stars have been an underdog. And tonight is no different. Plus 145 currently is what they're catching at Bet Rivers. The Lightning laying minus 167. The total at this game at about 5, shaded a little bit to the over. We're currently seeing minus 114. The under minus 105. So this one opened up with Tampa Bay about minus 159. Dallas plus 140. The attention going the way of Tampa Bay. Total has been steady for the most part in that 5 spot. And one trend really to look out here, and my producer Doug did a great job of pointing it out and finding this, a reason for a lot of the Lightning's confidence tonight is we have this tweet here. Andrei Vasilevskiy is 6-0 with a 1.41 goals against average and a 941 save percentage after a loss this postseason. So really a tremendous stat to back, and it looks like a bunch of the bettors are leaning in that direction. Tampa Bay currently minus 167, as we said, on the money line. The Stars plus 145, the total at 5. I was kind of leaning personally a little bit toward the Lightning winning in regulation. I'm waiting to talk with Ian a little bit more so to see what he thinks about that bet, because what I'm doing right now is still sweating out my futures ticket plus 550 on the Lightning that I snagged before the bubble. So I'm just obviously hoping for an outright win with the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. If I'm looking at an angle individually, that would be the best opportunity I would go. I'm not rushing to lay the minus 167 for the full game. So if you go in the win in regulation, you get about minus 104 for a little bit better price. Obviously, you would lose if it went to overtime, but I do think if the Lightning win, they can seal the deal in regulation. All right, let's take a look at tonight's Monday Night Football action, where this line opened, where it's gone, up and down. This opened up with Baltimore laying 2.5. Now we see the Ravens at Bet Rivers laying 3.5. -$180 on the money line is where we see the Ravens. So the Chiefs catching 3 in the hook, plus 155 for Kansas City. The total at 55 in this spot, it opened at 52. And it looks like much of the action, the biggest bet of the night, is all on the over. And that's just kind of the way it goes. Two powerhouse offenses. The Chiefs defense hasn't necessarily looked that great thus far. The Ravens are on the other side where their defense has looked really good, but you're still going against the reigning Super Bowl champions with Patrick Mahomes, who can just light it up on any given night, as we see so often. About 2/3 of the money is on the Chiefs to win and the spread as well. So a lot of those bets coming in on the Chiefs, catching 3.5 and some good value at plus 155. Personally, the way I lean for this one is I bought the half point down with the Ravens to spend a little bit more. I did that last night, so about minus 124 is what I laid with the Ravens, laying 3 in this spot. And obviously at so many books, but especially what Bet Rivers allows you to do is manipulate and alter those lines. And yes, you're going to have to pay a little bit different price, But look, in my mind, I don't know how the Chiefs are going to stop this offense that is the Ravens, because look what happened when Justin Herbert came in the game last week. I know they didn't necessarily prepare for him, but that defense is just not looking as the same as it did toward the latter half of last season. So I like laying the 3 with the Ravens, and we'll get into that game a little bit more so here on Rush Hour when we talk to Wes Reynolds and Ian Cameron. It is Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. As always, live at the Des Plaines Bet Rivers Sportsbook just outside of Chicago. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football. It's going to be a fun one. The Ravens and the Chiefs, and a possible Stanley Cup champion tonight with the Stars and the Lightning, or a possible force of Game 7. Plus, we'll take a look at some MLB series prices with Wes Reynolds, who we'll bring on right now at Wes Reynolds. One is where you can follow Wes on Twitter. Host of the Green Zone and Long Shots on VSiN. Be sure to go to VSiN.com/subscribe to catch all the exclusive content Wes is a part of. Wes, thanks for joining the show tonight, my man. How are you doing?
Danny, good to be with you, sir. We got a little battle going between us. You representing Chi-Town and me representing Naptown with the Colts and the Bears coming on Sunday.
Man, okay. Well, you bring up a great point. So now that Nick Foles is officially named the starter, are you a little bit more worried?
Not necessarily. I think, though, if you are going to bet the Bears, you should bet them now, because the line is going to drop. Because, look, the betting public and the market is going to say, okay, we've got the perceived better quarterback right now in Nick Foles starting. He's got a Super Bowl ring to prove that. But if you watch the game on Sunday at Atlanta, look, you got to give them credit for the win, but you also give the Falcons the credit for the loss, because Foles has the ability to throw it more down the field. Not as good with his legs or running the ball as Trubisky is, but really the numbers didn't have much variance. Foles gets credit for only the one interception in the end zone, but he did get intercepted on the 2-point conversion and had one interception, another potential interception drop. So I don't know if Foles was really that great. But I think now that Matt Nagy has made the decision, you know, it's kind of too late to turn back now. Once you do it, you do it. So I think he's going to be the guy going forward. I would not be surprised if Mitch is put back in at some point. But I think if you want to bet the Bears, bet it now, because I think that's where the money's going to come. A 3-0 home dog, too good to be true against the Colts team that has beaten two teams that haven't won a game with the Vikings and the Jets. So the Colts, I kind of lean to that side, but look, they haven't really proven anything this year. It may be more of a go against of the Bears in this spot, just with all the hype around them and all the reaction around town with Nick Foles now finally getting the starting job. I don't know if this is quite the end of the Mitch Trubisky era, but it's toward the back of the book for sure.
Yeah, we currently see at Bet Rivers the Bears catching 2.5, +112 at home on the money line. The Colts coming into town laying -136 on the money line. Total at 45 in the spot. And man, Wes, that was a brutal game in the sense of not me being a Bears fan, but as a Falcons backer, because I bet the Falcons at 3. I saw it go down to 2.5. So some late buyback on Chicago. I was like, from my perspective, sure, I'll get under the key number, lay it with the Falcons. They're up 16 points. And I legitimately tweeted out after they put in Nick Foles. I said, I'm going to get screwed here. I didn't handicap for Nick Foles. I handicapped for Mitch Trubisky. And what do you know? Next thing, what happens? The Bears come down. They win the game. And the Falcons just did classic Falcons thing. So that was unfortunate as a better. But from a Bears fan perspective, yes, it was awesome to see a quarterback kind of lead the comeback in that regard. Really quick before we move on to tonight's game, what's your thoughts with Dan Quinn and his future outlook with the Falcons as of this point?
Danny, we must have been reading each other's minds, because while I was on the air on the Green Zone yesterday afternoon right here on VSiN, I tweeted that exact same thought. I said, Foles in the game, my Atlanta is in trouble. And it was 26-10, and then Foles throws that interception that Denard pulls away at the last second. So you think, okay, we're on cruise control. And Atlanta was running the ball very well throughout the game with Todd Gurley and Brian Hill. But then all of a sudden they decided to let Matt Ryan kind of chuck it. It's like, okay, fellas, let's run the ball a little bit and keep these guys off the field and put this game away. I think it was an Atlanta collapse. I don't know what is going to happen with Dan Quinn. Look, they started 1-7 last year. Now, 6-2 rally late in the season to pretty much save his job. But it's like, here we go again in Atlanta. It's not just Dan Quinn, but also the GM, Tom Dimitroff, where Arthur Blank gave them another chance. And the former founder of Home Depot, that's now the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, may have an orange apron waiting for a Dan Quinn, along with a pink slip as the Falcons head coach at some point. I don't know how you do this 2 years in a row, and this team is just not getting better. This team's got talent. I thought they were a sleeper in the AFC South, that maybe they could get into a wild card position. I'm probably going to try them one more time next Monday night with the Packers on such a high. Once that gets above seven, once you see some 7.5s or more, but that's going to be my last stand with the Falcons. So if they can't get through again, then it's on the do not bet list for the rest of the season.
Oh, I hear you, man. As Wes Reynolds joins us here on Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers, taking a look at tonight's football action with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Hopefully tonight's game, you got to assume, is going to be a little bit prettier than what's to come on Thursday. So we'll look forward to this one tonight, Wes. And we see the Ravens now laying 3.5, minus $1.80 on the money line. The Chiefs with some value tonight, plus 155. The total going over, that's where we're seeing all the action so far at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Minus 105, though, to the over, currently at 55. The under, minus 109, so shaded a tad bit to the under, but the biggest bets of the night have gone toward the over. What angle are you looking at here? Is there value with KC catching 3 in the hook, or is their defense just kind of a liability as at this point?
You know, my first instinct, Danny, was to take the 3.5 with Kansas City, because it's like, well, I'm getting Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on the road, where they have very good ATS trends in their favor. But the more I kind of thought about it, the more I started veering a little bit more to the Baltimore side, because they've kind of been on cruise control for a couple weeks. And Kansas City still on that Super Bowl high, and maybe that Super Bowl hangover is absolutely real, because you look defensively. What I think Baltimore is going to try to do tonight is I think they're going to run the ball, and why wouldn't they run the ball against Kansas City, who has very much struggled? I believe they are 27th in DVOA, the Football Outsiders run defense ranking, giving up 150 yards a game, 4.6 a carry. The pass defense hasn't exactly been outstanding. I don't want to cut the Chiefs down too much, though, because I think they got thrown off guard a little bit with Justin Herbert being a late starter, as Tyrod Taylor was a late scratch in Los Angeles last weekend. So they didn't really game plan for Justin Herbert and what he could do in terms of also running the football. And the Chiefs did give up 183 yards on 44 carries last week. But now you get one of the better running attacks in the league. You've got Lamar Jackson, obviously, Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State. So, the Ravens are loaded in terms of running the ball. So on the side, because I kind of like both sides at one point, that probably tells me to stay out of the game from that perspective. But might have to hold my nose here, Danny, and actually go against the grain, as much as it's a risk. You know, friends don't let friends bet unders this so far in the NFL season. But this might be where I look to, and especially in the first half, if you can get 27, that's kind of the magic number for the resistance, is that you might get a slow start with these two teams as they feel each other out. Because I know it's only a week 3 game, but this is a bigger stakes game than a normal week 3 game, because these two teams, I got to think they're going to see each other in the playoffs. And we thought, or most of us thought, it was going to be the AFC championship game last season, but Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans had other ideas. But now Baltimore gets Kansas City. They've lost to them twice each of the last 2 years, lost by 5 in Arrowhead and then lost in overtime the year before. But now they get them in Baltimore. Home field advantage not as pronounced, with no fans in the stands. So I think that's why that number actually got bet down to 3. But now we're seeing the late money come on Baltimore. But I'm going to go a veer against the grain and probably look like a fool and go ahead and take the under.
No, I understand your thinking here, Wes. And we do see that first half under. I know you said 27. It's currently 26.5 at Rivers, but you're getting good value with the under at even money, the over minus 121. I'm kind of the inclination that the Ravens are going to get out to not a huge lead, but enough of a lead to where after they could just slowly run the ball and just kind of run it down this KC defense's throat, because obviously you don't want Patrick Mahomes to have the ball in his hands consistently. That's where the Chiefs are going to hurt you the most. So I understand where you're coming from, and I like that angle. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens, because you're right. I mean, Don't let friends bet the under. That's the trend we've seen so far in the NFL. It's been tough, but you got to think at some point it's possibly going to come around. Will it be tonight? It remains to be seen, but we'll certainly be rooting for you, Wes. And, you know, how about this other game, though? We'll go to hockey, though, with the Stars and the Lightning, because from a totals perspective, this one's been very intriguing to look at as well. We currently see it posted at 5, shaded a tad bit to the over, minus 114, the unders minus 105. And before we brought you on, we actually were talking about the line and where it started, where it's moved. It opened at about minus 159 in favor of Tampa. Was that about minus 167 or so right before we brought you on? Now it's jumped up to Tampa Bay minus 175, the Stars plus 148 for tonight on the ice. Who do you like in this matchup and anything with that total that you would dabble with?
Yeah, it looks like maybe the Tampa Bay Lightning this year, and I know that you have your future ticket. I would like to have that ticket in my pocket with two games left at plus 550, but it seems like the Lightning basically are like the Virginia Cavaliers of 2019. Because if you remember in 2018, they were the first number one seed to lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament to UMBC. And then they went on that revenge tour, and I actually won a futures ticket on them, bet them the next year. I said, okay, I think they're going to get it done, because I just love that narrative of being the first team to fall flat on your face as the one seed and then come back and win the national championship last year or the next year. And now the Lightning kind of have that, because recall, they got swept in the first round. They were the top team in the league in terms of points in the regular season. They got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets, an 8-1 last year. So this has kind of been their revenge tour, and they're one game away from hoisting that cup again. I think the Lightning get it done. I don't really like the number per se, but you had a good observation on the open of the show tonight when you talked about how good Vasilevskiy is off the loss. I thought he was really good in game five, actually. And if he wasn't so good, they might have lost 5-2, because Dallas completely outplayed Tampa Bay and got a lot more high-danger scoring chances. Absorb shots. That's what Dallas does. They're more of a defensive team. Stay above the puck, flood the neutral zone. That's just what they do, because they're not a team that I think is equipped to go up and down the ice with the Lightning, who are a good defensive team in their own right. Ordinarily, and I've been successful in these playoffs so far, taking elimination game overs, but I'm not sure I really want to do that tonight. I think you may see some teams that are a little dicey, and I know the first period overs have been getting there, and then if you're a live bettor, you can come in on the under, and that's been working out. But what I'm looking at right now, kind of leaning to that first period under, actually, at 1.5, and basically on market average from what I'm seeing, 125, 130, low 130s in some of that range. You may get a slow start here tonight between these two teams, as I got to think Tampa Bay, look, they got taken another game, so the pressure's all on them. The pressure's not on Dallas here. It's just like, let's just do what we do and play defense, and we're going to have a chance. And they like to get into that next goal win or game, you know, where it's very, very tight. Tampa Bay would prefer to go ahead and sit on leads. But if I'm going to bet this, and I still may here in about 45 minutes, first period under is where I'm going to look.
All right, Wes Reynolds with us here on Rush Hour at Wes Reynolds Wonders, where you can catch him on Twitter. Also catch him hosting the Green Zones on the weekend, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, live from Mandalay Bay, getting you all the in-game updates, analysis, and more. Wes, we got about 2 minutes left here. Postseason baseball starting tomorrow. I want to talk to you about the series between the White Sox and the A's. Now, the series prize has the A's as the favorite, -130 at Bet Rivers. The White Sox +107. However, in game one, with Giolito on the mound, opposing him is Lizardo for the A's. The White Sox are the favorite in game one, -130, +112 on the buyback for the A's. The total at this one is 7.5. Any early thoughts in this series between the White Sox and the A's?
Yeah, this is really interesting, Danny, because the A's are going to go ahead with their lefty starters with Lizardo in game one and maybe Manaea in game two, but that's a deadly cocktail against the White Sox, because the White Sox absolutely smack around left-handed pitchers. So, look, they're going to go ahead and trust Lizardo, their young ace here, instead of maybe going with a Mike Fiers or a Chris Bassett, who I think they're not as good of pitchers, but they might be better matchup for the White Sox. I think eventually you may see the White Sox get the money and go to the favorite in this series. I think the A's kind of got a tough matchup here. And it looked, they improved their seed because now they're the number two seed because the Twins fell to the number three with a late loss, but on Sunday. But I would rather if the A's have played somebody else or somebody that does have an A's World Series ticket along with the Rays one. This is a tough matchup for them, and I just think going with that lefty at first, I don't know if the White Sox have been beaten by a left-handed pitcher, a starter, all season long. So the White Sox, if you want to bet the series, bet it now if you think they're going to win that first game, and they're certainly favored to do so. So and the A's also without Matt Chapman, which is a big loss late in the season. So I'm a little down on the A's here. I may get on the White Sox for the series price, kind of hedge off that future bet.
All right, Wes Reynolds leaning a little bit toward the White Sox. He makes a great point. They just absolutely crush left-handed pitching OPS-wise, one of the tops in the league, and have a good opportunity to do so in game one against Lizardo. -130 is where they are for that game price. Remember, the series +107, so another good tip by Wes. If you think they're going to win game one, look at them for the little bit of plus money in the series price as well. All right, Wes, we'll be rooting for that first half under for you, my friend. Thanks for joining the show as always. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
All right, you got it, Danny. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, you bet. Great insight from our Indianapolis friend, Wes Reynolds. We'll be having that rivalry, like he pointed out, Bears versus Colts. Bears catching 2.5 at home against Philip Rivers and the Colts. When we return, we'll look at a recap of Rivers. How did the book fare? How did the public fare? We'll discuss that and more MLB series prices here on Rush Hour. With Roland Garros underway this week at Bet Rivers, you can get a 20% boost on any single bet every day through October 3rd with a maximum bet of $50. Not only that, at Bet Rivers, you can live stream a number of matches and bet live as you watch the French Open. If you haven't tried live betting on tennis, this is the perfect week to try. Take advantage of the special offer, and as always, get up to a $250 match bonus on your first deposit with a one-time playthrough on all bonuses. And superb customer service per usual at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. The crowd getting ready here for Monday Night Football between the Ravens and the Chiefs. A lot of the money going toward the Chiefs and a bunch of the money going toward the over of 55 tonight. But let's take a step back and do a recap, a Rivers recap, that is, of how the book fared this past weekend with some of the biggest games that really stood out and had the most impact with just the biggest number of bets and handle and liability and whatnot. So let's start with Sunday Night Football, the Packers and the Saints, Green Bay, the dog in this spot, going on the road, getting the win against Drew Brees and the Saints, 37-30. This was the most heavily bet game of Sunday's slate. The Packers closed as about a 3.5-point dog. They received 80% of the tickets to cover the spread. And to win outright as well, they received about 80% of the tickets. So the books took a beating on Sunday Night Football with the Packers getting the win. The total was at 52.5. That was the third highest of the Sunday's games, and it received 85% of the tickets. So not a good game from behind the counter, but if you bet on the Packers and bet the over, you're feeling pretty good about yourself on Sunday night. Then going toward the NFC North with the Lions, the Cardinals were a very heavily bet team too, and they lose 26-23. Prater gets the game-winning field goal at the end. 87% of tickets were on the Cardinals to cover the spread, which was the second most popular bet of the day. They're also the second most popular money line pick of the week with 91% of tickets on them to win outright. The books did pretty well with the Lions winning and covering in that spot against the Cardinals. Now, how about the Buccaneers and the Broncos? Tampa Bay just put the smackdown on Denver, 28-10. The Bucs to cover the spread was the most popular spread pick of the day with 90% of the tickets on them to cover. So the bettors do well in that regard. Bucs money line was also the most popular as well with 95% of tickets on them to win outright. Total wise, 30% of the bets went on the under, just 30% went on the under, which was at 42.5, the total set in that spot. The game goes only to 38. The Seahawks and Cowboys, Seahawks get the win due to Russell Wilson's heroic acts at the end. Great live betting opportunity that we talked about so much, and Russ comes through. The Seahawks received 78% of tickets on the money line. 55% of the bets were on the Seahawks to cover 5.5, and they do just that. The over-under was the highest total of the week at 56.5, which 70% of the tickets were on. All right, and then the Bears and the Falcons, as Wes and I were talking about, a painful loss if you back the Falcons, but that's what I guess you get for backing the Falcons. 47% of bettors backed the Bears, actually, in this spot. 73% of bets were on the over of 45.5. Great second-half performance by the Bears to get you over that total. Titans and Vikings, 60% of the bets were on the Titans to win outright, so you barely escaped there. However, 70% of the bets were on the over 49, so you also get there once again with a Vikings game going over the total. And then finally, the ugly match. I thought this one was pretty funny with the Eagles and the Bengals. You knew they were going to tie it at the start of overtime. That's how ugly of a game it was. The total was at 47 points, and because no team scored in overtime, the under was able to win. How about that? But just 35% of the bets were on the under. All right, let's go ahead really quick and transition to some baseball talk here, because like we said, there are the MLB series prices out, and I wanted to get some of those before we go to a break here and talk some hockey and football. So we talked about the A's and the White Sox. The A's in the series are minus 130, the White Sox plus 107. Let's take a look at the Cubs and the Marlins, though. So the Cubs are minus 177 in this spot. The Marlins are plus 144. Yes, the Marlins barely got into the postseason in this spot. You know what happened the last time they met in the postseason. We don't really like to talk about it, but something occurred on the left field stands area where a ball may or may not have been interfered with. Regardless, the Cubs minus 177 in the series, Marlins plus 144. The Marlins, remember, had the worst run differential in the NL East, minus 41. But this Cubs team, man, they just have such an inconsistent offense. Luckily, you saw Chris Bryant picking it up as of late. Looks like they should do it again, assuming they could get past those young pitchers. A lot of the public thinking so. The Cubs are the big favorite in this spot. And really quick, I just wanted to go over one series on the AL side of things. The one that I'm betting is the Yankees minus 134 over the Indians. The Yankees offense started clicking at the right time. The Indians on the other side, they have great pitching, yes. They have no offense whatsoever, and you need to be able to hit home runs in this postseason. The Indians certainly cannot do that. The Yankees, quite the opposite. So my best bet for series prices, Yankees minus 134. Talking hockey next on Rush Hour with Ian Cameron. Don't miss it. Indeed helps you find your business needs fast. You'll find lots of great candidates and no long-term contracts at Indeed.com/high impact. Welcome back into Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. The show, of course, at VSIN Live. You can follow our next guest on Twitter, Ian Cameron, at Bobano, professional handicapper, VSIN contributor, and much more. We're going to break down tonight's Stanley Cup Finals matchup, Game 6, with the Lightning up 3-2 in the series against the Stars. Ian, it's going to be a fun one tonight, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah. Could be the end of the season, and if Tampa Bay has their way, it will be.
And so let's get right into it, because we were talking earlier, we saw the line keep shifting up in favor of Tampa Bay. They opened up at about minus 159, the Stars plus 140. The total's been steady at 5, so now we see the Lightning as high as minus 177, plus 150 on the buyback for Dallas. Like we said, that total still remaining at 5, shaded a tad bit to the under. So what angle are you looking at for this game? Are the Lightning going to seal the deal?
I think so. But Dallas has fought, hung in there, is the best way to put it in this series, because Tampa Bay's largely outplayed them, outshot them, outchanced them, had the puck more, scored more goals, have more depth offensively, have four lines that have all contributed, where Dallas hasn't really gotten much of anything from their top guys, especially the last couple games where they've really had to rely on the two veterans that they picked up in the offseason, Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, to get all the offense for them. But there's been something about the Stars all playoffs where they've hung in there, they've been outplayed, they've relied on their goaltending, and they've just found ways to steal games. And that's exactly how they won Game 5 on Saturday night. What's going to make this more difficult for them tonight, though, is they're not as deep as Tampa, and they're not as healthy as Tampa Bay. Dallas has some key injuries. Last game, three key forwards, Roope Hintz, Blake Como, Radek Foxa, all did not play. There's no certainty that any of them are going to be returning for this Game 6 tonight. And there are three guys that aren't necessarily big scoring weapons for them, but they're very good defensively. In terms of defensive forwards, I'd say all three of those guys are three of the better defensive forwards on this Stars team. And it's made life more difficult for them trying to check and trying to defend this very potent Tampa Bay team, which has three lines that are all capable of scoring. You also have to now deal with the third game in four nights after they played back-to-back Friday and Saturday, and all these players playing more minutes and new faces in the lineup. They've got to play more minutes than they're used to, and now they've got to come back and play a third game in four nights after two exhausting overtime games. Not a familiar situation for some of those guys compared to some of the players on Tampa. So that's a little thing going against them. Another thing is Tampa Bay. Their track record off a loss is spectacular. They're 5-0 off a loss in the playoffs, and that's the situation they're in tonight. I think 17-3 now in that role going back to the regular season. They've just been very, very good at bouncing back off a defeat, even though they didn't necessarily deserve to lose the last game. They still did. And their best line has always responded off a loss, talking about Palat, Kucherov, and Point. In fact, from a prop standpoint, I'd be looking at all three of those guys tonight. I do think Tampa Bay ends it tonight. But if you like Tampa Bay, and I kind of do, I'd take a chance on the puck line, -1.5, +170. Because if they're leading late, they're going to have that chance to extend the margin, because Dallas is going to pull their goalie, and likely earlier than normal. But I don't love it because of the heart and the grit that we've seen Dallas have on display throughout these playoffs, and no quit attitude. But Tampa's largely been the better team. They've constantly played good off a loss. And I think there's a good chance the urgency is there for them to end this thing right here tonight.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The best angle personally I looked at or thought would be a good angle. I understand the puck line, but just for a little bit more security, I looked for the Lightning to win in regulation. What's kind of your thoughts on that? Is it more so just the same as the puck line, and it's really just if you want better value or not, or the more security with the win in regulation? And then your thoughts on the total with this being at 5? I know you absolutely nailed the total last week when we had you on. Any thoughts really regarding the total of this game, or is it kind of tricky because, you know, this series has just been really up and down?
Yeah, this is not just for value. I mean, you can say that about every game with a favorite, obviously, in the NHL going puck line instead of money line or regulation line. This is the fact that I think the puck line, the odds are increased in your favor, maybe more than the price indicates, because even if Tampa Bay is only up by a goal, say it's 3-2 late in the third period, Dallas is pulling the goalie even earlier than normal because their season's on the line. So you're going to have so much opportunity from a time perspective to get that empty net goal and give you that two-goal margin of victory you need to cash the puck line, maybe more opportunity than you'd get in a normal circumstance. So that's why I think the puck line offers a value more tonight than normal. As far as the total goes, I'm on the over. That's actually my strongest stance in this game, is looking over the total. That two overs, we've had three pushes when it comes to the total in this series. Not a single game here in the Stanley Cup Final has ended up with fewer than five total goals scored, and I don't expect that to change here. And as you often see with an elimination game, and this will especially be the case if Dallas is trailing in the third period, they're going to have to open up. They're going to have to throw everything they can at the net, and you could get the floodgates opening and a late goal explosion, including the empty net, which could lead to multiple goals. So, and especially with the total being as low as five, you're not going to see me betting an under with a total of five in an elimination game. I like this one over.
Ian Cameron with us at Bobanos, where you could Follow him on Twitter. The total, once again, at 5. Ian's best bet of the night, looking toward the over, would also potentially take a flyer with the puck line with the Lightning tonight for some good value. Very great points, because you got to imagine if the Stars do get down, this is make or break. So they're going to be pulling their goalie earlier than usual and opening up, like Ian was alluding to. Ian, really great analysis per usual. We'll be rooting for you tonight, my friend. Enjoy potentially the last hockey game of the season. We'll look forward to chatting again soon.
All right, Danny. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
All right, you as well. At Bobano's, where you can follow Ian on Twitter. Catch him contributing to VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe. And remember about VSiN. How'd your football betting weekend go? As you know, there's always room to improve your handicapping skills and your sports betting IQ. And VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence at VSiN.com. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. You'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all of VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on VSiN.com. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Once again, a big thanks to Ian Cameron. Some of his best bets for tonight. The biggest one going over the total between the Lightning and the Stars in Game 6. Once again, that one at 5, shaded a tad bit to the under, actually, minus 113, the over minus 105, and a flyer on the puck line with the Lightning as well. We're talking football prop shelf coming up next here on Rush Hour. With Roland Garros underway, you can earn extra boosts this week at Bet Rivers. You can get a 20% boost on any single bet every day through October 3rd with a maximum bet of $50. Not only that, at Bet Rivers, you can live stream a number of matches and bet live as you watch the French Open. If you haven't tried live betting on tennis, this is the perfect week to try. Take advantage of the special offer and, as always, get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit with a one-time playthrough on all bonuses and superb customer service at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Wrapping up a Monday edition of Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live in Des Plaines at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook at the Rivers Casino just outside of Chicago, getting ready for the Stanley Cup Finals potential elimination game. And of course, Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Let's get into it with Prop Shelf, where we dive into the top props for tonight's main event being in Baltimore between the Ravens and the Chiefs. All right, let's get right into it. Total passing yards between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. So before we get into it, to have more passing yards, Mahomes is the big favorite, -180. Jackson is plus 142 at Bet Rivers. But as we look at their total passing yards, Jackson is posted at 255.5. Earlier today, the over was minus 106. The under was minus 118. Now we've seen that flip to the over minus 118, the under minus 106. So how has Lamar Jackson fared so well this season? In week one versus Cleveland, he went 20-25, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Then week two in Houston against the Texans, 18 of 24, 204 yards with 1 touchdown and no interceptions. So since it's a small sample size, we'll look back to 2019 where he played in 16 games. He averaged 218 passing yards per game. So obviously not near that prop where it's at right now, 255.5. He only went over that prop number 4 times last season in his MVP campaign. And they did play against the Chiefs last season. The Chiefs did get the win. And against the Chiefs, he went 22 of 43, 267 passing yards, no touchdown passes, and no interceptions. So he did get over that prop number of passing yards in that game against the Chiefs. And we were talking about it with Wes earlier. This KC defense, about 17th in DVOA pass defense, 282 passing yards allowed per game thus far. So, KC, we saw their defense improve toward the end of last season. That hasn't been the case so far, and it's only going to get tougher against his potent Lamar Jackson-led Ravens offense. So 255.5, the over now minus 118, the under minus 106 currently at BetRivers. I'd lean a little bit toward the over, but ultimately it's going to be no play for myself. Now, how about on the other side with Patrick Mahomes? He is a lot higher at 292.5. The over was minus 118, the under minus 106. The attention going toward the over, no surprise. It's minus 134 to the over now for Mahomes. The under for a little bit of plus money, plus 108. But I don't know if I'm quick to rush to bet the over for Mahomes, because this Baltimore defense, they're third in DVOA pass defense thus far. They're allowing 232 passing yards per game going against Cleveland and Houston, as we've seen so far. So, look, obviously Deshaun Watson's not the same as Patrick Mahomes, but in a relative sense. And the reason, though, I wouldn't actually go toward the unders, because I personally think the Ravens are going to have a lead for a decent amount of this game. And in order to get back into this game or to try to keep up, what are the Chiefs going to have to do? They're going to keep passing, like we saw happen against the Chargers. So I think it's going to be a lot bigger of a passing game. Maybe not a lot bigger, but more emphasis on that than you would typically see, unless the Chiefs get out to the early start. But otherwise, I have no play on that one as well for Patrick Mahomes. 292.5, shaded to the over minus 134 for passing yards, under plus 108. Now, how about total pass completions? Lamar Jackson at 21.5. The over was minus 124. The under was even money. We've seen attention go toward the under, actually. So now the under's the favorite, -120. The over minus 105. Week one against Cleveland, he completed 20 passes on 25 attempts. Week two at Houston, he completed 18 passes on 24 attempts. So he's averaging 19 completions per game this season. Last year, he completed about 18.5 per game. He only went over the prop of 21.5. So he only completed 22 passes just four times out of 16 games last season. He did just make it over against the Chiefs when he went 22 of 43 last season. Remember, the over minus 105 under -120. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a run heavy game for Baltimore, because they're going to want to slow down the pace, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hand. I would lean under for that even money earlier, but now, like we said, it's -120. I would lean the way of where the attention's going on Lamar Jackson, under 21.5 completions. Now, Patrick Mahomes, this is where we've seen some movement. So he opened up at 24.5, over under -112 each way. Now it's 26.5, the over -105, the under -120. Week one against Houston, 24-32, so didn't get over that prop number. Week two against the Chargers, he did, 27-47. In 2019 and 17 games for Mahomes, he averaged 23 completions per game, got at least 25 completions seven times last year. So that's how many times he went over this prop mark. Against the Ravens in week three in 2019, went 27-37. So one of those spots, kind of like what I just keep saying, I think the Chiefs are going to be passing, especially late, to try to catch up with the Ravens, because I do think the Ravens are going to win this game. Like I said with my bet earlier, I bought the half point down, laying the three with the Ravens for about minus 124. But nevertheless, I think the Chiefs are going to be trying to catch up once again, like we saw with the Chargers, thus alluding that Patrick Mahomes would have more pass attempts, probably more completions. So at 26.5, though, I don't want to touch it. At 24.5, I obviously would have shaded to the over. But as of this point, stay away. But definitely would not be looking to bet the under for Mahomes in any sense tonight. Now let's look at receiving yards for this evening. Baltimore, like we said, third in DVOA pass defense so far this season. KC is 17th. Let's look at Hollywood Brown and his receiving yards props. It's at 51.5. The over was minus 112, under minus 112. That's bumped up now to the over minus 150, under plus 120. And it makes sense because, look, week one against the Browns, this kid had five receptions on six targets for 101 yards. Week two against Houston, same thing, except for 42 yards. Last season, he averaged about 47 receiving yards per game. Against KC, he had two receptions but was targeted nine times for just 49 yards. So we only went over this prop four times, but look, he's been getting some consistent action early on. I would lean a little bit toward that over. -150 is a little bit too steep now, so I would ultimately stay away, but would gravitate toward the over with Hollywood Brown. Now, Mark Andrews is a little bit of a, I don't know what you want to say, just, I guess, kind of up in the air, sketchy prop on a lot of regards tonight, because he's at 54.5, overshaded that way now, minus 112, the under minus 103. It was minus 112 each way. Week one, he had five receptions on six targets for 58 yards and two touchdowns. But then week two, he just had the one reception on three targets for 29 yards and no touchdowns. And against KC last season, he did have three receptions on seven targets for just 15 yards. But look, I mean, I lean the under minus 103. The attention's gone to the over, but I just don't really have that much faith in it because this guy can have he can light it up on any given night. And this could certainly be an opportunity or just really a game where he's going to be targeted in the end zone, but not pick up that many yards. So I don't really know. I don't have a good enough read on Andrews and what this Ravens offense is going to do with him. So I lean a little bit toward the under, but staying away from Mark Andrews. And then how about Tyreek Hill? Once again, kind of a guy I have no play with, but I'll throw his numbers out really quick. 69.5 for receiving yards. The over shaded that direction, went from minus 124 to minus 134. The under was even money. Now it is plus 108. He had 46 yards in week one, 99 yards in week two, averaged about 72 receiving yards per game. So naturally, he gets attention toward the over. Same with Kelce at 69.5. The over is minus 124. Under is even money. Week one, 6 receptions on 6 targets for just 50 yards. But then week two, 9 receptions, 14 targets on 90 yards. A big target when they're trailing a lot of the times, which I think will happen. So would lean toward the over with Kelce, 69.5. And then how about Clyde Edwards-Helaire? He's at 25.5. Now his numbers moved from the over minus 108 to minus 139, the under minus 115 to plus 112. So 25.5 receiving yards for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Week one, he had no receptions and no targets. However, week two, he got a lot more action, 6 receptions on 8 targets for 32 yards. Lean a little bit toward that over now that it's at about 25.5 or so. We'll see what they kind of utilize with Edwards-Helaire, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to be running the ball too much against this Ravens defense. Now, receptions, Hollywood Brown, he was at 3.5 earlier. This has moved to 4.5, the over even money, under minus 124. Remember, this could be a good spot, obviously, if you had it earlier in the day, but now it's 4.5 because he's been consistent. 5 receptions on 6 targets in each of the 2 games this season. He went over this prop 7 times last year, so could probably or potentially be a good play if you think he once again gets 5 receptions. The over is even money. And we'll move down a little bit. And just to get to the rushing props before we run out of time, one that I kind of think sticks out. Patrick Mahomes at 17.5. The over was minus 155. The under plus 125. Now, this has shifted down toward the under. And that's the direction I was leaning. The under is even money. The over minus 125 now. Week one versus Houston, he had no rushing attempts, so no yards there. Week two, he had 6 rushing attempts for 54 yards. Against Baltimore last season, just 4 rushing attempts for 9 yards. I don't think we're going to see too much out of Mahomes rushing wise. But then again, all it takes is one big scramble for him to get over that mark. So I lean toward the under, but just one of those where it's kind of just one flimsy play can screw you. So ultimately not going to be a best bet. And then Lamar Jackson, he's at 62.5, over under minus 112 each way, shaded a little bit to the over as of late. Week one, he had 7 rushing attempts for 45 yards. 16 rushing attempts in week two for 54 yards, so hasn't gone over that mark just yet. You could get a decent price on the under minus 108 if you think that's a good opportunity with Lamar Jackson tonight. Last season against KC, he had 8 rushing attempts for 46 yards, so the sample size says to go toward the no. Once again, if the Ravens are going to slow down that clock, if they have the lead, they're going to try to prevent Patrick Mahomes from getting the ball in his hands, look for a good rushing performance from a lot of these Ravens players. But Ingram with his stats, he's at 49.5 that went to 52.5. Remember, they have a big backfield now with J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. So that's why I'm a little hesitant with Mark Ingram in that respect tonight. But guys, just to wrap up some of my best bets, we briefly talked about it. I know postseason baseball starting in the AL tomorrow. I like the Yankees in their series price against the Indians, minus 134. I think the Bronx Bombers are going to come to fruition and the Indians won't be able to keep up offensively. For tonight in the NFL, bought the 3.5 down to 3 minus 124. Think the Ravens get the win in the cover of 3. And then in hockey, we talked about with Ian. He likes the over. I'm going the win in regulation for Lightning. Hopefully I cash my future ticket. Hopefully you cash as well. Best of luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Rush Hour.